The aged care sector is short of more than 1,000 nurses whilst we're still in the health sector, which has forced the closure of some rest homes and the loss of 500 aged care beds in the last 6 months. This means that those of us who are vulnerable and in need of care can be languishing on long wait lists for 2 years or more, and those caring for them have little chance at respite. National spokesperson for health, Dr. Shane Retty, says we are watching a sector break in front of our eyes. So how would he fix it? We thought we'd ask him. Tēnā koe, Dr. Retty.
Tēnā koe, Karen. Good to speak with you.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Who are the people suffering most as a result of this crisis?
People who are suffering most are those who are on the cusp of entering the aged residential care sector, because they're already in great need but unable to access a sector that's already struggling. And the key rate limiting step here is the health workforce. There just aren't enough HCAs, the healthcare assistants, and registered nurses particularly in the sector to provide the level of care required. That's where the hurdle is. It's with the health workforce.
Right, and this really is bigger than politics, isn't it, Shane?
Oh, this is a big deal. We have to imagine that if we can't resolve this, the response from the aged residential care sector is only twofold. They can increase prices, which again doesn't bring more arms and legs to the issue, or they can reduce supply. Now, if they're going to reduce supply, they would likely reduce the low-paying, high-maintenance, high-resource-intensive beds, and that's the dementia care beds. And that would be a real tragedy, because you might possibly consider moving some people who are independent living, semi-independent living, maybe back into the community in some shape or form. But there's no way you're going to be able to do that with dementia care patients.
Right. And when we're looking at pay rates, the salary difference between aged residential care and DHB nurses is estimated at around $10,000 to $15,000 less for the residential workers. That's a big difference.
That's for the registered nurses. And what's coming towards us that will be the straw on the camel's back is when DHB nurses eventually land their pay equity agreement, that difference will go to between 22 to 30,000 is what the Aged Care Association thinks it will be, and that will almost certainly cause a significant migration to the hospital sector, which is, you know, starved of registered nurses as well. That will be even more of an incentive for that shift, and this is what I'm concerned about. This is what will cripple the sector. That will be the trigger for things to start falling apart.
What can Health Minister Andrew Little do now to fix this that he hasn't already done?
Three things. First of all, we need to be more welcoming in our immigration settings. And I'm afraid the announcement last week that nurses will go on to the two-year residency program and not have the fast-track residency, that's very disappointing. That's not a welcoming environment at all. So we need to be more welcoming in our immigration settings. Secondly, we have, it's estimated, maybe 1,000 or more nurses who are already here in New Zealand, and they're just waiting to do what's called their CAP course, which is a competency assurance course. It costs $10,000 to do that. So let me backtrack a bit. These are nurses who have international experience. They've moved here with their family. They're already here in New Zealand, but they're driving Uber Eats because they can't be onboarded because of this hurdle to sit the CAP course. Surely there's a way we can figure that out.
$10,000 to do that course.
It is. Correct, yeah, to do the CAP course. And they're already very experienced, but you know, for many, that's a hurdle. And the third thing we can do, we need to start looking at, we should have actually been looking at this a long time ago, turning on our domestic supply. Our homegrown, culturally competent nurses and doctors, I can't explain why in our hands and in other hands we haven't turned on this tap a long time ago, but we surely need to do that now and start growing our homegrown health workforce.
I'm sure you'll appreciate that many people listening will know someone affected by long wait times under a national government, prostate and bowel screening, to name a couple. So if you have some solutions, have you talked to Health Minister Andrew Little about them?
So if we look at waiting times, if we look at when we handed over in 2017, what's called the FSA, the First Specialist Assessment, the target we had there was you needed to see a specialist within 4 months. And when we handed over, it was less than 1,000, around about 684, as I recall, in November. Now it's 36,000 people waiting more than 4 months to see a specialist. Now, you know, COVID legitimately is responsible for half of that, although we could have built more ICU beds and ameliorated that problem. But it was 15,000 even before COVID struck. So it's been a problem that's been increasing. So yes, we did have some waiting lists in our hands, but nothing like we've got here now. Substantively, this comes down to several things. First of all, it continues to be workforce. You know, you can build all the policies, the most wonderful policy designs you like. If you don't have people to actually implement it, then it will fail. Secondly, they need to be equipped with the right equipment and the right facilities. I was just hearing your previous speaker talk about the hut seismic issues today. That's kind of interesting. A year ago, I asked the minister for the 10 most seismic at-risk hospitals in New Zealand, and you know, Hutt wasn't on that list. So it seems to have come along quite quickly. And then thirdly, so I've talked about the people, there's the parts, and then the policies. You need to have policies that support people, policies that set targets, policies that hold us, hold the system, hold providers accountable, and it's that mix that will address waiting lists.
Not really us or them, though, is it? You probably need to get your heads together and have a powwow about it and how it can be solved.
Oh, look, it's an issue over multiple governments over a long time. If we say turn on the domestic tap, it will take 3 to 5 years at a minimum to grow a nurse, 7 to 10 to grow a young doctor. That's across multiple governments, and there needs to be that, as you say, that willingness to invest for a time where you may not be in government to see the fruits of that investment, but at the end of the day, who cares? It's the right thing to do.
Very good. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Good to chat with you.
It's National Spokesperson for Health, Dr. Shane Retty.